In James chapter 3, we won't go there yet. We're in James chapter 3. We have some more worship here, but let me just read a verse out of Psalms. It says, Lord, David, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And today we're going to learn about our words and communication from James chapter 3. As we enter into this time of worship, it'd be a great time to prepare your heart, because none of us have communicated or do communicate perfectly. Every one of us has been hurt by words that should not have been spoken, and every one of us have spoken words that we shouldn't have. So we all understand that. But God can do and wants to do a significant work today through the worship and through the word that literally can change your approach in your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace, and with friends as he brings the understanding of his word to us today. So it's very exciting. You ready for it? I am. Thank you, worship team. As you're standing, this is a time to open up your Bibles. Now, the junior high, this is your time to leave. We have Tammy and Mark in the lobby. They're going to go ahead and minister to you. So junior high students, those that will be going into 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, I really appreciate the announcement for Harvest today, and appreciate JJ, what you had to say, and then Jim, also the ministry of the bike. If you're going to be a student going into high school, so you're going to be in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, we really want you to be a part of this trip. This is a fantastic trip. I'm going to be going with the students on that trip. Jimmy's got a little sidecar on his bike I'll be in, so we're going to use discipleship, and we're going to look at Romans 12 on that discipleship trip. So you're in James 3 now, but Romans 12, and it's really how to live this Christian life that we're talking about. It's going to be a great blessing, and appreciate your prayers, and really, it's a great, you are coming as a high school student, and you have a friend you'd like to bring. We want you to bring your friend. Absolutely. You bring your friend and let them see what it is just to be in a place with other Christians. It'd be a great blessing. In James chapter 3 this morning, we're looking at a message called Not Gun Control. Sounds like it. It could be as violent as it, but it's tongue control. So in James chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, if we put bits into horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Hey, God bless you. Glad you're here this morning, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that your word is just right here for us. And I thank you that you don't hide the issues of life. You lay it all out for us. And then you show us how you work in the midst of our frailties, in the midst of our failures. And I would say this morning that every one of us, no doubt the scripture has already said that for us, we have all experienced battles with our tongue, with our mouth, with our lips, and with our heart. Lord, we just say right now, please forgive us, Lord, for anything we've never confessed in this area. Anything that maybe we're aware of it, but we've been soft on just saying, you know what, that's been sin in my life, and I'm sorry for that, Lord. Please forgive me. And so we pray that from this day forward, it can be a new start for all of us, understanding you and understand how you want to work in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Your words really do matter. About 27 years ago, I had the opportunity of officiating my first wedding, one of my first weddings, and the individual, one of the fellas getting married, a young person just in college, and his name was Stephen. And as they came forward, him and his bride, and as I opened in prayer, listen how I prayed. I opened in prayer, everybody's head was bowed, and I says, "Dear Lord, I am so thankful for Stephanie." So I said Stephanie instead of his name, Stephen. And when I said that, and everyone's head is bowed, you know how it goes, Jack, your mind races. And inside my mind, there's another chamber, and it's saying, "You know what you just said? No, what did I say? You called him Stephanie." "No, I didn't call him Stephanie." "Yes, you did. No, I couldn't have done that. You did do that." "No, his name's Stephen." So in a matter of just nanoseconds, this conversation's racing in my head. And then everyone's head is still bowed. And then I look up and I look at him, and Stephen's going, "Huh?" It was Stephanie for sure. Well, you know, it's 27 years later, and I'm still really growing in this area, because at Sierra's wedding yesterday, her and Chaz got married, and I was really blessed. I appreciate so many in our fellowship helping and serving and being a part of that. Things seemed to go pretty smoothly. We had the exchanging of just their personal vows. We had communion, unity candle, prayed for them. He kissed the bride. It was all set to go. And I remembered, and I don't know how necessarily, but I forgot the ring exchange yesterday at that part. Isn't that pretty good, huh? Way to go. And so at that point, we just did the ring exchange. And in some ways, Chaz was glad because he got to kiss his bride again before we ended. So it all worked out. Words do matter. As a matter of fact, as we're looking at this chapter 3, we might look back over into chapter 1 for a moment, because James is like the book of Proverbs, but in epistle format. In other words, there's continual wise statements for Christian living. Back in chapter 1 of James and in verse 19, he says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," and there it is, "slow to speak and slow to wrath." So he's giving us some initial insight on communication still in chapter 1. But if you drop down to the very last verse, that would be verse 27 of James chapter 1. It says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." But just before that, in verse 26, it says, "If anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless." So there's some references concerning the tongue and communication in our words. But I believe this little section of James is one of the most thorough sections right here in chapter 3 of James regarding our communication with one another. Now, communication is what we're talking about here. It's wonderful because he gives us several illustrations, and I think we can hold on to those illustrations to really learn what he's saying to us today. Now, communication is an interesting word, communication. I was reading in a secular magazine, business magazine or something like that this week, or saw it on the internet recently, but it was speaking about the divorce rate amongst people my age. In other words, couples that have been married 20, 30, 40 years, it has really spiked up. And I was reading and wondering from the secular article why. And of course, what they're going to say is a breakdown in communication, and that's certainly true in every relationship. But how does it break down? Why did it break down? What's the problem? You see, when we're talking like this, I'm using words, and then there's a tone. So I can be saying, "And did you know?" Or I can say, "And did you know?" So that's a tone. And then there's just nonverbal communication. So I can... That's all nonverbal, okay? So in your life, communication is words, how you say those words, the tone, and then nonverbal communication. Are you following me? With the nonverbal, what percentage of our communication is nonverbal? So if out of 100%, what percentage would be nonverbal? 90? You guys are so generous. It's about 60 probably. At least that's what they say. Maybe 90 in your house, but it's, you know, 60 in some others' houses. But and then the words are just about 8%. And then the tone. So let's just give an example, because we want to lay some example out to make this really work. This is very practical, but it's very hard-hitting as we go through that, all right? So in other words, I'm just kind of like being really nice here, laying it out, but we're going to get into some things, and you're going to go, but it's good. Okay. So words. I could say to my wife, I'm going to work now. Goodbye. Those are the words. However, the tone could be different. I'm going to work now. Goodbye. Now, that was called tone, okay? And then the nonverbal, opening the door, slamming the door, getting in the car, and gunning it up the street, and I'm leaving. So that was all nonverbal. And that was a very, very huge statement that I just made. I'm communicating something to my wife. And with that, there's going to be a mop-up operation when I get home, okay? There's going to be a reality to that. So in communication and as we're relating to one another, those are the things that we're looking at. Now, as we're looking at James, let's just for a moment, because I always like, did Jesus have a commentary about our speaking, our language, our tongue? What did he say about it? He says a lot of things. So let's look over in Matthew chapter 12. There's a few verses there that I think will be helpful as we look at what the Lord had to say in communicating about our tongue, speech, and how that all works out. It's in Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and then in verse 33, we'll start there. And it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Before I proceed, it's very interesting that it's saying, make the tree. Because normally when you buy something, you're not going to make the tree. It is what it is. I believe that the Lord is saying that this is something in terms of the fruitfulness of your life. You have a choice. Is this what you want to make? This is your choice. As we look at this, he's saying in relationship, make the tree. You have an opportunity to take what God's given to you and be responsible. So continue. Verse 34. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, verse 36, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So I guess our words really do matter, don't they? Back to James chapter 3. Jesus was speaking, and he's telling us that we're accountable for our words. Now, in James chapter 3 and in verse 1, he starts off by laying a very high level of accountability. Therefore, he's saying, if you desire to become a teacher, you need to understand that you are under stricter accountability, stricter judgment. So in this capacity today, the accountability that I have before the Lord is great. But you also have a great accountability in your home. And as you're training and teaching your children, you have an accountability in that as well. And in our lives, God has built in accountability. We're accountable before the Lord, and we're accountable for the Word, and we're accountable for how His Word lives out of our life. And there is a judgment, and the more that God gives you to be accountable for, the stricter or the greater the judgment it'll be. You with me on this? Okay. So we're looking at words. Our words do matter. We're talking about our tongue. If we think about a well on somebody's property, so in your mind, maybe you're thinking of Jack and Jill went up the hill. Remember that well that was there? So you got to get a picture of a well in your mind. So think of a well, and obviously the well has a bucket, and so in a rope, and then we're going to just let the rope go all the way down, and there's going to be some water. We're going to fill up the bucket. We're going to pull the bucket up, and we're going to have the water that was in the well, and there it is. We'll pour it out. Maybe the best way to say this is that our hearts would be the well. So our hearts would be the well, what's in our hearts. And the bucket would be our tongues. And so what happens is when we're communicating, really what's happening is our tongue is going down into the depth of the well or our heart, and it's being used to draw out what's in our hearts. Now, you have said, and I have said, after I said something I regretted. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Well, that's probably true. Benefit of the doubt, you didn't mean that. But the reality is, it's what's in your heart. It's absolutely what's in your heart. There's no getting away from that. What you said, even though you don't mean it because now you realize you hurt somebody, you offended somebody, but it's a revelation to you and to anyone else what's in your heart. That's in your heart. You can't escape it. It's in your heart. And God allows situations in our life for the revelation of really what's in our heart. And he wants to clean our heart. He wants to make our hearts right with one another. When we're looking at this, we realize that this here is for everybody, every believer. So whether you're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, a single person, you're discipling another person, you're in small groups, you're ministering to men and women, you're in home fellowships, whatever it is, this applies to everybody. There's an accountability that we all have before the Lord. Now, there's a silly nursery rhyme, and I don't know if it's necessarily a nursery rhyme. I say that because we learn it at a young age. It goes like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... That is such a lie. That is an absolute lie. This week I've been riding my bike, getting ready, Jimmy, for the trip, just in case if you want me to ride and you want to sit in the sidecar. But I've been working hard, but I came around a corner and... The little boy was in front of me, and I grabbed my front brake as fast and as hard and as strong as I could. Well, what happened is I absolutely flipped completely over, and bike went completely over, and I just planted myself, and I was kind of shaking up there for a little bit and kind of working through some of that. I feel the pain of that, okay, but it's getting better. But there's things that people have said to me or about me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, is still painful to me. Words do matter. Words really do matter. I just assume you beat me, okay? Then I can get better, okay? But let's just have it straight. So that's what he's saying. Our words really do matter. And I'm working off of this today in communicating to all of us that we have the capacity, through the grace of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, we have the capacity to exchange words that can change the future of people's lives. The way that you communicate. What do you mean? That seems a pretty bold statement. Well, let me ask you, if someone is looking, as we saw in here, for hope, and I says, I'd like to share with you some words. Do you have a few minutes? Now, the words I want to share with you are words out of the Bible. They're what Jesus had to say, and it's called the gospel. I'd like to share the gospel with you. Do you have a few minutes? Can I share the love of God with you? Can I share the love of Christ with you? I'm sharing those words. If that person responds to that work of God and the Holy Spirit, that person's life's going to be changed. And that person's life will be changed for eternity. Amen? So we have that ability. Again, we're not calling things into existence. We're following what God has given to us, but we have that capacity. How many of you, in growing up, you've had a teacher, a leader, and even a parent that has responded to you in a way that has really hurt you? Now, you have the opportunity to see somebody really excel. For example, in back this morning, Shane is a coach in high school, but we're just talking about that. And as a high school coach, and he coaches the girls' basketball team at Nooksack, but looking at his life and seeing these students come in, now they don't realize at a freshman year the potential they have. None of them will. I mean, they're just making sure their hair is looking good and they're all right and they're feeling awkward and clumsy and whatever else like that. But they're moving around and they've had some sports skills growing up. And, you know, but as a coach, he's seeing that. And those freshmen are coming in, or maybe he scouted out the eighth grade team. I don't know. But he's watching, because he's trying to build a varsity team, even though they're at a certain young age. Some of you know that as coaches. But you're looking because you see a potential. So you see an athletic potential. You also see a desire potential in others. So maybe they don't have the best athletic skill. They're going to be hard workers on the team. Their bodies are going to change in some coaching and discipline. They may come because of that attitude they bring in with it, somebody you want to invest in. So you look and you see, and you realize that with the right coaching, you're able to see this. Now, a coach can come heavy upon its team, and I don't want to be around that kind of a coach, okay? I want to be around somebody that we're going to call it like it is. He's going to try to bring out the best. We're going to develop discipline and everything else. But he believes in me. And as soon as the coach believes in me, I believe you can do this. I believe with the training, you can do this. I'm with you in this. I want to help you in this. I'm going to see you through. All of a sudden, your attitude changed. You're engaged because someone believes in you. Someone hopes. Someone is with you. Someone wants to walk through this with you. You go through, and we'll take it out of the athletic realm, but just take it in a personal realm, and you're going through a very difficult time in your life, a very difficult season. And somebody realizes that. And maybe somebody that realizes that has been through something maybe in a similar way, or in some way they're able to, in a sense, really, you really feel they relate with you and for you. And they come alongside, and they're going to be there with you for the next 2, 3, 4 years or whatever to see you through a time. That makes a difference in your life, doesn't it? What I'm saying is that your words matter, and your words can make a difference. And your words, led by the Holy Spirit of God, can radically change what's going on. Radically change. We're not looking to politics. As you see, Harvest America, it's nothing about that. It's an election year. It's nothing about that. What it's about is calling out to God in humility, saying, God, we're sorry for our sins, the sins of this nation. We believe that you want to work, Lord. I mean, if you're with me on this, this is where things may be at right now, where we're at. We may see God work in a wonderful way through this nation. To me, the future of this nation isn't, you know, and all the economics and other things, all that plays into it. But the future of this nation is whether we're going to turn our hearts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. The future of this nation, where we live, this nation, if there's going to be a spiritual harvest, that's the future. Amen. That's the future of this place that we live in. That's my belief. The future is based on whether God will move through his Holy Spirit and there would be a revival like we've never seen. If that doesn't happen, then this nation may just collapse economically and morally. That certainly is a possibility. It's a possibility of outside attack as well upon the nation. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not prophesizing as a prophet. I'm not claiming it. I'm just saying from my heart, where I'm at, I'm for revival. All my heart and energy is into revival, to see our hearts as believers stirred for the Lord and that God would use us to help others come to know him. That's what I'm sold out to completely. I'm aware. I'm not ignorant. You know, I'm aware of what's going on in our world and different things, but our answer is in Jesus Christ, in his word, and being yielded. That's it. I'm committed to that. My time, effort, energy is for that. If there's a political issue that is a moral issue, it's a biblical issue, and it's to be voted on, then I'm going to vote as the Lord would want us to vote in that area there. But we're about seeing the Lord draw people to himself. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen through your words. It's going to happen through you, through me, through our relationships with others, our communication, how we care for one another, the specific words, the nonverbal words, the tone of things. Chapter 3. James, he gives us the illustrations. He lays it out, and I like it as we read, we all stumble, verse 2, in many things. And it's a great blessing to see that. And I believe that in verse 2 of chapter 3, he's saying, he is a perfect man. I don't believe that there is a perfect person that has never failed in this area. We all have failed, but we all want to grow and mature in this area. We don't want to continue patterns the way they have been in the past. So he wonderfully, I believe, brings some illustrations to us. And we have people in our fellowship that love horses. And I'm going to hear an amen, I'm sure, on that. But they love horses, and they should be the one probably giving the verse 3 illustration. But for my little knowledge of that, one second. It's not a latte, okay? It's just water. You know, there's a little piece of metal, there's straps that go in, and a horse is a huge animal. And just this little thing, you're able to absolutely control that horse under the right circumstances. Right? Right. Okay. Now, not only that, but how many of you have ever been to SeaWorld? How many have been to SeaWorld? Who is the famous character at SeaWorld? Shamu. Shamu is like the biggest animal we've ever seen. Unless some of you have seen dinosaurs or something, but it's the biggest real animal we've ever seen. And Shamu is tamed. He's trained, tamed to do the things. And the illustration in here is you see this huge animal and our tongue, And I believe our tongue is like 2 ounces in my reading. It might have 8 muscles in it. I'm not sure. That's just something that I read. I'm not sure on that. And maybe 4 inches long. Anyways, that's the tongue. But can't tame it. Got problems. As a matter of fact, it's so dangerous that God built a cage, your teeth, and keeps it in there. Stay in there. So, when we look again at the illustration as far as verse 4, it says, think about a ship and how huge they are. But if you've ever seen one of these ships that are dry docked or one of the ferries that are in dry dock or a military ship, they're huge. But it's surprisingly, it's shocking how small the rudder really is on those big ships that take them through tremendous storms and conditions. And he's given just that illustration that little members under the control have the capacity of doing great things. And he speaks about, and unfortunately, how sad the fires have been lately. Certainly the ones in Colorado and Fort Collins and in Colorado Springs and the devastation. And those fires are just started many times with just a little match, a little stick match, or maybe a lightning, just something small, something very small can do that much damage. And he's given us a marvelous illustration that this small little member, this tongue, it has the capacity for tremendous damage, tremendous devastation. And as we move ahead here, we can see that in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set, it says in verse 6, amongst our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. I believe on your discipleship living, there was a commentary in this section about the day of Pentecost where fire came down. And so you see God using fire in replicating the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire coming down and being filled. So many times when we think of, you know, you're on fire for the Lord, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We've talked before about fires and, you know, we have a backyard fire pit, but when you put all the wood on and it's all appropriately in the fire pit area, it draws people to it and you want to be around it. And it's a great blessing. There's just something about that. When you're finished, you take the wood and you just spread it apart and it just kind of burns itself out. Listen now. How many people in the body of Christ have been once a part of a nice fire, but by their decisions, they've pulled themselves away, and there's just these little embers that are out there, and it's not right. It's not good. You know, when you spread the fire apart, everyone just says, let's go in now. Let's go, and you move away from it. There's nothing attractive about it. God wants us to be together in fellowship with one another. The fire that comes from the fellowship, the love, the warmth, the blessing, it draws us together like that. And that's where we need to be. And as we come together as a body of believers, then we need to learn, how do we care for one another? How do we talk to one another? How do we relate to one another? And we need to be held accountable for our words. That's what he's saying. And it's very difficult probably now than ever before, but certainly it was written here in the first century because the problem existed. But I believe with the media and other types of communication, it seems as though this, you know, the time period that we're living in, people are being schooled not on how to be gracious, but how to be critical, how to be sarcastic, how to come, you know, strongly in opinions and many times without any substance to the opinions that they have, just opinions. And so there's all the talk shows and everything else like that that kind of dispenses some thoughts, and then those are grabbed by listeners who dispense them and whatever else. But how much substance was there? How much content was behind that? And you listen to people and it's like, how do you even have these audiences that you have? Because where's the content? Where's the issue? And that's what is being schooled. So people come into the church, and then that kind of attitude, unfortunately, can prevail many times. And it's very sad and extremely detrimental. We're not called to be critics. We have the Word of God. So if there's something that is not right in the teaching, we see that we're under stricter judgment. We've got it recorded. Let's talk about it. Let's listen to it. Let's go through that. So we got the accountability there, and it's in place. And so what we're trying to do is to grow as a fellowship, but we're going to grow by realizing that our words do matter. And every one of us are going to have our feelings hurt, okay? It's just a part of life, okay? So, you know, you go through and you realize, okay, well, if there's this thing, then, hey, I hurt my wife's feelings. I need to apologize. Because I hurt her feelings doesn't mean I'm walking out on our marriage relationship because her feelings are hurt. It's just I hurt her feelings. You know, when we moved into our house for the first time, we rented for 20 years, and then we got a house. And I just always wanted rose bushes, and I went overboard. I think, what's the run? I don't know, 30 or 40 rose bushes. I have three daughters and a wife growing up. So it's just like, my vision was to have flowers, cut them, put them in a vase, and nice. That was my vision. And, you know, I kind of did that for a while. This year we pulled them all out. One of the brothers did that. Just normal green things. Why? It's a good question. I learned over time that if I actually stopped on the way home, went in, and I found a nice red stem rose, and it had some greens put around it with some baby's breath, and brought that home, I was so amazed at how that was a wonderful gift. And I think, well, I cultivated all these other ones out here, and they're appreciative, but there's something about the thought behind, right, women? The rose, bringing it in, setting it there. And you know what I noticed regarding communication? That rose, that long stem rose or the thing, when I'm gone, it communicates all day long. It is so nice. It's just on that table. I mean, it's doing the work for me. It is so nice. I mean, I come home, baby, and I just come home. Rose, how are you? Do you need water? You want a little refreshment? What do you need? I'm counting on you, man. I want 7 days out of you. 7 days. I mean, it has been good. This $3.99 rose, you are awesome. Thank you. No Miracle-Gro, no trimming leaves. You're great. I love it. It's communication, isn't it? So when we're looking at this and we're going through this and we're seeing, you know, our words do matter. How we're communicating, how we're relating, how we're building up one another. As we go down, we see in verse 9, it says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who's been made in the likeness, it says similitude or likeness of God, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So two things are happening at the same time, and it shouldn't be like this. So, for example, I'm so blessed by our worship team and just being able to get together, and we're praising God, aren't we? We're thanking the Lord, how great thou art. Wonderful, right? How great thou art. Lord is great. And we're around one another in the fellowship. We see a vision of harvest for the future. God encourages you through his word. We're just praising and blessing the Lord. Bless you, brother. And then you're driving home in the car and you say, yeah, did you see that person today? What's with them? I don't know. What do you think? And all of a sudden, okay, where did all that go? And you can become negative. You can become critical. So with the same mouth that you just were blessing the Lord, and now you're driving home, and there's this conversation going on that's not honoring to the Lord. It's not building up anybody. It's detracting from everything. And that's what he's saying. He's saying there's two things happening. Why is that happening? Something's not right in our heart. That's why. Something's wrong within our heart. And we need to see the Lord work that out of our heart. It's a great blessing in Proverbs. If you turn over to the left in your Bibles to Proverbs, so Psalms is a very large book, but Proverbs comes right after Psalms. We're just going to take a little flyover on Psalms. We're just going to hit a few of them, and I believe Psalms is going to help us again understand what we're speaking about as far as the importance of our words and the accountability of our words. So look at Proverbs chapter 6. God is love. Are you right? God is love? Yes? Does God hate anything? He does. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It says, Proverbs 6, 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, the seven are an abomination. So six are really bad, but the seventh is even worse. What are they? Well, verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and lastly, the one that he hates the most, one who does what? Sows discord amongst the brethren. You understand what I'm saying? The words. Saying things that aren't building up. Saying things that are critical. Saying things that are tearing down one another. Look over to chapter 10 of Proverbs. Proverbs 10, again, just doing a little sweep through here and gaining a few nuggets along the way. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who," look at that, "restrains his lips is wise." Nice. "The tongue," in verse 20, "of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth very little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools, fools die for lack of wisdom." A couple of more, chapter 12 and in verse 25. 12:25, Proverbs says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." You know, when you're feeling down, you're feeling discouraged, the Lord shows that to somebody else, and all of a sudden, there's a call or an inquiry, and you know what? That was just the hope that you needed. Your words were perfect. Chapter 16 and in verse 24. Chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Very positive. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 21, the last one, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Amen. So just our talk, our relation, our speech, it is so helpful. The worship team's going to come up. I'm going to still teach as they come up. So just stay tuned right here. Stay seated as they come up. They're going to get ready. Just a couple of points here to make before we go. So remember, our words matter, right? And we're held accountable. So with our words, we confess Jesus Christ is Lord. With our words, we confess Christ. It says, "Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess." Also in Hebrews 10, it speaks about that. Now, the word "think." A couple other pastors, and I'm sure they found it somewhere else, but they took the word "think." So you need to think before you speak. You ever hear of that? But let's use the word "think." And it's I didn't create this one, but just borrowed it. So the word "think," T-H-I-N-K, think. But let's, before we speak, let's think. T, think. T, is it truthful? That's a good thing. Is it truthful? H, is it helpful? It may be truthful, but is it helpful? Is it something that God is wanting me to be helpful with? Number, or I, so think, T-H-I-N-K, the I, is it important? The N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? So think before you speak. I mean, is it something that is absolutely, first of all, is it truthful? Is it going to really help somebody else? Is it important? Is it necessary? So the Lord may give you information because he wants you to pray for somebody, but he doesn't want that information given to somebody else. Or you get little tidbits of information. Some of it is true and some of it is absolutely not. And you begin then to disseminate that and then it pollutes the entire body. You know, it's like me saying, you know what? 90% of this meal is wonderful. There's just 10% of E. coli in it. God bless you with that. What? So unfortunately, within the body of Christ, listen now, within the body of Christ, the greatest pains aren't outside. It's inside when there has been things said that are absolutely things that should never have been said. Never at all. That's where the greatest pain is at. And that's where the enemy attacks. You'll see it next week's or in Wednesday night study. You'll see that. That's how the enemy attacks. We have to understand that and be able to live in a way. So finally, we want to give life-giving words. We want to give words that build people up. We want to be able to intentionally have control. One more illustration. I can't. I'm just really out of control. I can't help myself. When I get mad, when I get angry, when I'm over the top, I can't help myself. Oh, really? Let me just give you a real illustration. You're all upset. Rah, 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 rah. The phone rings.
yeah, hi, how you doing? Everything's good. No, we're good. Like, no, it's, yeah. No, we're working on that order for you. We'll get that right to you. And everything's going to be okay. Now listen, you know what that shows me? You're accountable and you have the capacity not to do that. A couple more. All right. I believe you can change the world with your words. And I know that's a very strong, out there statement. That's a very out there. But I believe that. I believe that. I really do. I want us to be planting the word of God, the good words, the seed of God, so there can be great fruit in our lives, in our fellowship, and for the kingdom of God. Amen?